Hey guys, and welcome to episode 40 of Give It The Beans. So this has been quite quick in getting to 40 episodes, considering I started the podcast back in, I think it was September time. So more recently we've been doing, or I've been doing sort of more than one a week. Just with, especially with it being the lockdown and people have a little bit more time on their hands, but also like I just wanted to add a little bit more value so that people could still achieve their physique goals in this time period. And excuse me, some of the responses that I've gotten from a couple of episodes have been good. Like the motivation one, people seem to really resonate with that. You know, getting Joe Bennett on the podcast last week was incredible. You know, and he's such a humble guy. It was a bit of a fangirl moment for me to interview him, but he was really, really humble throughout the whole thing, off and on podcast. I think I emailed him on a Saturday, and thinking that he would reply on the Monday, and he got back to me on like later that night. Emailed him back Easter Sunday, didn't hear back, but emailed me back first thing Monday morning, and then we had arranged the podcast for the Tuesday. So it was that quick, and someone of sort of that level coming on the podcast is pretty damn amazing, and something I'm pretty grateful for, the fact that he was, you know, said yes to coming on this little Scottish bodybuilding podcast, which I hope that if you're listening, you have enjoyed. So 40 episodes in, if you enjoyed this or have enjoyed the 40 episodes, please just do let me know about it. You don't need to necessarily share this episode, but what I would ask is if you listen to this today, please just share your favourite episode on your Instagram story, and just a little plug of, you know, my Insta handle and whatnot, just so we can spread the word and people can get value from the episode, because there's been some big guests on that have dropped some massive knowledge bombs, you know, from the likes of Dr. Dean to the most recent Joe Bennett. We had Dr. Carrie Jones, Dr. Eric Balcavage, you know, things that perhaps that wouldn't be spoken about on any other sort of bodybuilding podcast, but they all relate back to what we are striving to do, which is improve our physique, but also just understand the body and how we can improve what's going on within the body, then ultimately will improve how we look. So today's episode, I thought I would come on something that I've not done before and just talk about why you perhaps need a coach. Now, there's different ways to approach this question, right? Because I could chat literally for the next 2 hours about this, but I'm not going to. All I'll simply do is chat for the usual half hour that I will do when it's episodes on my own. Now, there will be some coaches listening to this, some PTs, and there'll be some people that have a coach already. Now, I'm going to speak to the ones that are PTs first, then I'll speak to the ones that have coaches, then I'll speak to the ones that don't have coaches, right? So there's a lot of PTs or gym instructors or whatnot out there who are perhaps thinking in their mind, like, well, why do I need a coach? Because I can already do everything that a coach is going to do for me, and I can get results, and I know exactly what I need to do to get there. And if you're thinking like that, then you're an absolute fucking liar, and you have no idea what you're doing, where you're going, because if you think you know it all, you really know nothing. And the reason I say that is, I've got a degree, and often consider myself that I know quite a fair bit. I've worked with, you know, about 3 coaches over the span of almost 4.5 years, and with each one of them, I've learned so much, and been able to take what they do, or they've helped me, like, they've said something, and I've been then able to go and improve my service because of it. You know, most recently, for example, let's take Callum, the coach I'm working with at the moment, Callum underscore the muscle metters on Instagram, for those of you that don't follow him, you probably all do. Now, we were speaking about blood pressure, and I know, and fluid retention, and I'm well aware of the sodium potassium pump and its role in sort of fluid balance within a cell, and, you know, in regards to fluid balance, what the kidneys do. But when we were speaking, this was on a Friday night, by the way, we were speaking about controlling blood pressure as we start to push body weight up, and he got me to track my sodium potassium intake. Potassium is a bit low, and we bumped that up, and he said, well, the reason, like, systolic blood pressure would be quite high if we were sort of pushing body up, is usually because of lack of potassium. And I was like, fuck, I knew that, but I shouldn't, like, I'd forgotten about it. So it was a gentle reminder to be like, right, make sure you're controlling your potassium intake. So something I'm aware of, and it's something that I'm going to be aware of then working with all my guys that are pushing body weight up. So, I mean, I could take that right back to 2016. Now, many of you have seen the photo of me, skinny guy, trying to do this sort of pose. If you're watching on YouTube, I'm sorry for the length of my hair. God, we need barbers to open, don't we? But in 2016, I'll be honest with you, I didn't do meal plans. I don't even think, I maybe had just started doing programs. And you know, some of my clients that have been with me for a while, Indra will be one of them, she's probably listening, they'll attest to that I think I just started doing programs roughly towards the end of 2015. And God, if you had seen them now, God, if I look at them now, I cringe. But I think if you can't do that, you're not moving forward. So I started working with, you know, like you'd say, I've worked with four coaches, right? Because I worked with Stu Mack for 8 weeks before he got ill and stopped doing it. Then I moved to a guy called Jamie Dorogo. And with both of them, I saw like a different style of programming that I could then trial on myself, implement with some clients. And then, you know, Jamie did meal plans. And I thought, oh, well, maybe I should do meal plans. That'll improve my service. And then it did, and it got more refined. He did check-ins, so I started doing check-ins. Worked with him for a while, and then moved on to James Sutton straight after I competed. And just the level of precision and extra knowledge I got for that from his coaching was unbelievable. And each week when we went on call, I would always have a list of questions about, you know, whether it was physiology based, whether it was, okay, here's a client, here's a case study, what would you do, this is what I'm going to do, do you agree with it? And it was just a clarification, someone there in the back of my mind. And I worked with James for about a year thereafter. He kind of at that point taught me everything I needed to know. I was still sort of unsure of where I was in my journey, where I was going, but I thought I could do the majority of it myself, and I did for a wee while, good sort of year and a half thereafter. I did a photo shoot myself. But at that point, learning never slowed down because I would always do some CPD or whatnot. People ask me, what's the best CPD thing you could do to learn more? Hire a coach. Hire a coach that is smarter than you, that is way more successful than you, and you think is way more knowledgeable than you, because ultimately you will learn from them. And then thereafter, last October, November time, that's when I jumped on board with Callum. Now, Callum's been a good friend for many, many years, and there's always been someone I can go to for with a question and reply pretty much almost instantly with a response of whether he kind of knows, but he's a little bit unsure. And that's something that's just obviously that this was like, you know, 2-3 years before we started coaching. I knew him and got, you know, became friends on Instagram and whatnot, and then before you know it, like, we were speaking about, well, you know, pre-bed supplements and whatnot very, very quickly. So I think that if you're a PT or a coach out there, please invest in a coach. Like, invest in yourself, because I guarantee what's happened is you got into this industry because you love training and, you know, you loved improving your physique and you wanted to help others do that. And then as you got busier and busier and busier over time, your training slipped. Your nutrition slipped. Right, stresses went through the roof, you're overworked, you're overtired. You're maybe doing 5, 6, 7 clients back to back, after which you're absolutely starving and you've been on your feet all day. Then you've got to go teach a class. After that, all you want to do is eat, so you reach for something hypocalorific, and then you start to feel guilty, and then the shame sets in when you start putting on weight because you're trying to improve everyone else's physique, but yet you're not taking care of your own. But what you fail to realise is that your body is your best business card. Now, if you've got a decent coach, they should be putting sort of quote-unquote rules in place for when you eat, when you train, the time of day that you train, when you go to bed, how many hours of sleep you get, the variance of levels of nutrition or nutritional sources of food that are in your diet, and ultimately just stay on top of you. And if you think that you could make it in this industry without having a coach and some accountability, and you are a coach, you're laughing. And maybe I shouldn't say you're laughing, maybe I just say you're deluded. That's maybe a more of a better word. Because ultimately your body will be your best business card, but it's very hard at times to focus on your own body and also your business. None of coaches within the industry are focused on business. They're more sort of just like, and this was me not too long ago, hey, I'm just a PT, and I help people get in shape and whatnot, and you kind of at times forget the reason why you got this industry, and you float about, you know, from month to month, from year to year, not really knowing where you're going, what you're doing. You've not got any mission. And this will sort of relate back to the podcast I done about motivation and creating a vision. And if you don't have a vision in your PT about where you want your business to be in the next 1, 3, and 5 years, I'd strongly suggest you do so. And that's something that Mark Cole's got me to do last September time. And it's why you've seen such a difference in social media content, website, Alan Clary coming on board, just everything we've done over the past sort of 8 months, has been due to creating that vision. And I know I knew back then when I created it in my mind, I said, right, I am putting a lot of energy into this. My trainer will always be there, but I need someone to take care of the decision making when I'm prepping. Right, so it meant that I was like, well, right, the only person I'm going to trust to do it is Cal. And I know that if I just become, I'm always robotic anyway, so I'm robotic with food, with training, I'm autonomic with that stuff. But if I do that and I just check in, he can make the decision making of when I pull down. And it takes that stress away from me having to do it and look at myself and whatnot. I just send the photo over, send the video over, send the weight over. He says, blah, 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 change this. And then before you know it, we get to show day and we're good and we're ready. In that time frame, I've managed to more than double my income, run a successful business, take new coaches on board, move house, plan to get married, and whatnot. So I think that the benefits that you'll see as a coach by having someone in your corner are unbelievable. And for the most part, any successful coach that you work with will want to help because they'll have been in your shoes, right? They understand what it feels like to do 5, 6, 7, 8 clients in a row, to have the long hours and the late nights and early mornings. And there's a time period like in the industry where you need to do that. You have to dig your heels in the trenches and you have to just do it for a wee while just to get busy, get a reputation, get some income in, so you can then develop your brand over time. But thereafter, you should quickly look at having someone in your corner so that as you go to progress your business, progress your body. And that's the thing, if you're not actively trying to improve your education, how can you expect to improve your body? Because different training systems come out, different nutritional strategies come out, and if you're not trialing this sort of stuff for a long period of time and actually applying yourself with it, you're never going to know if that's a benefit that you could implement to your own business or coaching and then see a return from that. So my advice to any coach is please get yourself a coach. It doesn't need to be me, right? People will either love what I do or they'll absolutely fucking hate what I do, and that's fine. The ones that hate what I do, I'm not interested in, I'm not trying to sell to them, I'm not trying to get them in my circle. I'm trying to just, voice to the ones or sell to the ones, speak to the ones that love what I do, because they'll get value from that. Now, let's go to a different scenario where maybe you are a well-advanced sort of gym goer and you have been going for a while, you've done really well on your own, you've changed your physique, but you're just not where you want to be and you don't think you can get there without a little bit of help. But the thing is, you're probably too stubborn and think, oh, I don't need a coach. That's what I used to hear all the time. Why would you pay for that? That's a waste of money. I go, what? Like, in life, things are only expensive if you see no value in them. It's like when someone tells me they don't have the time, I'm like, no, you don't value what this is to make the time to do it. Does that make sense? So, and I guess I'm more speaking to guys than girls, right? Because, females in general will often, they'll chat about problems, they'll seek help, they'll go to the doctors if there's a problem or whatnot, whereas guys, we don't. We're too stubborn. We'd like to sort of like rest on our morals and think, well, I'm a guy, so I kind of know what to do and whatnot. And the thing is, I used to be like that. And when you realise that you don't know everything, and you don't know exactly what to do, you become a little bit happier because you reach out for that help like I did 2016, and then you start to go, wow, this is a whole different dynamic than what I'm used to. Because back in 2016, you look at that first photo of me, which many of you have seen if you listen to the podcast, I thought I knew how to get big. And I thought at the time, I was big. Genuinely thought I was big. And I was like, why would I want a coach? Why would I want to do that? It was only when I eventually, you know, swallowed my pride a little bit and got one, I was like, wow, there's a whole different level, and I'm at the bottom, and you know, that's way up there. So back to you know, addressing guys, is that you are probably thinking, I don't want someone to tell me what to do. Right? That's probably exactly what you're thinking. But the thing is, it's not about being told what to do, it's about working together. So take me and Cal for example. I'll check in and I'll say, this is what's happened this week, this is what the body's doing. I recommend that we probably should hold food this week, let the body settle, and then see what's going to happen next week. And then he'll reply, say his little spiel, and then say, yeah, I agree, we should do that. And then there's other check-ins where I won't say much. I'll just send my photo, a video, sorry, and wait, and a little bit of an update. And he'll come back, and he'll say, this is what I suggest we do. And I'll say, yeah, I agree. And there's very rarely an occasion where we disagree. And that's okay, by the way, if you do. But if you're going to disagree with your coach, you kind of should be knowing, you should be almost at that level, where you can do it yourself, but you've chosen to have them on board for different reasons. But at the start, I think that asking a lot of questions will be your best way to have clarity on, right, I'm not being told what to do, I'm being educated on what I can do, what will make me better over time. Rather than, oh, there's this guy, he's telling me what to eat, he's telling, like, remember, it's always a suggestion. Us as coaches, we'll say, right, here is a training program, here is a meal plan, here is a, you know, calorie limit, here's a step count, here's a cardio requirement. On this energy balance, we should see X result in X amount of weeks, right? Now, that's coming from usually just years of experience on working with hundreds of bodies. Now, you might be looking at it as, in, oh, you have to do this, you have to do that. I'll say a lot of time in my set of emails, this is how I'd like you to train, blah, blah, blah. If this doesn't work for you, let me know. And we can find a way around it, because ultimately it has to fit in with your lifestyle, your partner, your training partner, your job, your kids, etc., etc. Now, think about it in a way that if you were educated and you ask questions and you continue to learn over time, over time, and over time, and let's say you work with that coach for a year, do you not think that then when you do choose to go it alone, you will have more knowledge in your repertoire to get to where you want to be? But ultimately, like, if you have never been somewhere before, like, let's say you want to get absolutely shredded, if you've never been there before and you don't know how to do it, how do you expect to get there on your own? You won't, right? So you need a coach. You need someone to help you get there. And I guess on both accounts, whether you're a PT, whether you're a guy or a girl without a coach who's thinking that they don't need one, who are you accountable to on a day-to-day basis? And if you tell me it's you're accountable to yourself, again, you're fucking deluded. And I don't mean that in a bad way. It's more just the average than, or what's the average versus what's not. And the reason I say that is that how often, let's say, okay, you're a PT, you know, 7-8 clients, you say to yourself, right, this fucking month, I'm gonna fucking smash it. I'm gonna absolutely smash it. I'm gonna work out this many times a day. I'm gonna train at this time in the morning. I'm gonna eat my meals. I'm gonna meal prep. And you do it for a week. You do it for a week, right? And then you get to like the 10th day. And then your partner goes, oh, Domino's. Domino's are doing a 2-for-1 Tuesday. And you go, fucking right. I've done 7 clients in a row. I'm knackered. I've had 10 solid days. I've done well. Give me that pizza. You have the pizza, and what you fail to realise is that the calories in the pizza have undone the past 10 days and actually put you in a little bit of a surplus. Why? Because that pizza that you've eaten alone, it's probably about 3,000 calories, but you've also had garlic and herb dip on the side, which is probably about 1,500 calories on its own, and you've smashed some cookies, maybe some ice cream and whatnot, and you've had a good old fucking time, because you deserve it, right? And then the next day comes and you go, and you know, you've put on about 4 pounds of fluid. And because you've got a poor relationship with the scales, because you've not got a coach, you went, oh, fucking hell, I'm a failure, I'm this, I'm that, and the next thing. Right, that's it, day one, starts again today. And you go, right, cool, and you smash it. And this time you get like 2 weeks in. And you've lost that 5 pounds of fluid and then 1 more pound. And then, you know, your pal, Sally, calls you up. And Sally's like, hey, we're going out in the town tonight, fancy a few drinks. And you go, ah, you know, I've been good, I'm trying to like try to smash this diet and I'm trying to improve, you know, my physique, blah, blah. And Sally goes, ah, come on, man. Like, you deserve it, you've had a tough week, blah, blah. And you go, yeah, I deserve that. I'm fucking entitled to that. And you go out and you smash it, and before you know it, you've put on, you know, scale weights up that whole week and you've gained about 3 pounds of fluid. But not only that, because you overdone it on the Saturday, of course you were hungover on the Sunday, and you know, of course you had some hangover food and you fucking got kebab the night before, and then the next day you got a curry, you got pizza, you got snacks, whatever it was you had. And before you know it, you've undone any sort of hard work at all, and you're actually in a worse position than you were at the start. And then, you know, this sort of vicious cycle happens another couple of times, and then you just go, this is what you'll say. You'll say, it's just not for me. Fuck that. What does that mean? It is for you, you just can't apply yourself to stick to a fucking diet. But the difference is, you don't have a powerful enough reason why you would not want to act in said behaviours, but you also don't have anyone to be accountable to, and it takes a certain type of person to be accountable to themselves. I can do it no problem. I did a photo shoot prep for myself, got peeled, and it was fine, but I had a strong reason why and a powerful motivator. If you're just floating about and you just train here and there and whatnot, and you like the idea of getting shredded, but you don't want to apply yourself and understand the lifestyle that's needed, don't get frustrated at yourself if you can't get lean. Like, it's fine. You don't necessarily need to be that shape, and being that lean might not be that important to you at this point in your life, and that's totally fine. But if it is, let's take that same scenario. You invest in a coach, you pay a bit of money, you see value in that. You get your plan through and you just go, whoa, holy fucking shit, this is next level, this is amazing. And you know, you stick to it, you have a productive first week, you check in. Then you get a little bit of feedback, whether it's a voice note, a video, a call, whatever it is, you get a bit of feedback. And that feedback, that coach, that person that you respect says, you know, you've done really well here, it's really productive, I'm pretty happy with how things are, I really don't see a need for us to change anything going into next week. I think that on this energy balance, we'll continue to improve, we'll continue to get better, and we need another 7 days to get in a proper deficit. They give you a little bit of feedback on your training videos, and you go, fuck, yes, let's smash another week, and let's fucking go for it. So then, when that text comes, the two for Tuesdays, that's the day after your check-in, 2 days after your check-in, you say, fuck that, no way. Like, I've had such a good week, I've got to be productive, I want to, like, do well, and I think that at times it's all right to want to get praise from your coach. That's not a bad thing, to be having a coach that, like, it'll make you feel a bit better, more motivated to stick to yourself. And that back same scenario, so you miss that dominoes and you stick to your plan. And then you check in, and rather than be sort of 5 pounds of fluid up, you're actually 3-4 pounds down in body weight. Now, body weight's kind of irrelevant, but let's just say that that's happened. But also, you look in the mirror and you're visually tighter. You know, if you're a female, your glutes are sitting a little bit higher. If you're a guy, maybe perhaps the chest is a little bit firmer, sitting a little bit higher. And both your abdominals, you know, you're feeling a little bit tighter in the waist. And then you get some positive feedback again. You know, maybe perhaps you get a little bit of a change to the plan. And then you go, oh, wow, there's a little bit of change. Right, let's see what this does. And you could see how you can build momentum week in, week out, always having that accountability. Knowing that you have to send over, you know, photographs of your physique, or perhaps it's a video of you going through the mandatory quarter poses. For a lot of my athletes, That's what they have to check in with. So if you know you've got to do that each week, you know you're not going to fucking want to smash your dominoes, because any good coach, and my clients who are listening, the ones that have went off plan will attest to this. I'll look at the visuals first, the video or the picture, and instantly I'll compare them to last week, the week before, etc. Instantly I'll say, these are off. There's something not right here. And I'll open up the check-in sheet just to see if there's an explanation of, okay, I overate on calories, or on this specific day my calories were up and blah, blah, blah. And sometimes there's not. And often, this happens quite a lot, clients will try and not get away with overeating, but they'll overeat and they'll be too ashamed to tell because they feel guilty and they don't want to disappoint, that they don't say. And I'll often just reply with something saying, right, these visuals are off, how much have you been overeating by? Or in the voice note, I'll say, right, or like a guy or a female on this energy balance, and by that I mean your calories and your training, your output, etc., and that level of muscularity should be mobilizing body fat by X amount per week. And the reason I say that is just because I've had experience of years of working with similar individuals, hundreds of bodies in front of me. I say, so the only logical explanation of why we aren't better this week is that there needs to be more food going in, because you've done your training, you've done your steps, you've done your cardio. And then they'll come back with, well, yeah, this, you know, I had this. And I go, just tell me that. And that's not like, it's not that it's all right, but it's not like school, you don't get a punishment exercise by because you overate. It's like, right, we need to work out perhaps why those things have happened. Like, implement a strategy and a system for next time around that those problems do occur, and ensure that they don't happen again. And then they go, oh, right, wow, that's a different way to look at it. I thought that you were just going to shout at me and get me in trouble and tell me I'm this, that, and the next thing. And I'm saying, well, no, that's not how it works. How it works is that it's a team. It's an accumulation of, what's the word I'm looking for here? Yeah, I'll go back to it. It's a team. It's a team decision of, okay, this has happened. A cumulative goal. There we go. That's the word I was looking for. Of where we want to get to. And any decisions that we make will always have, you know, the client's best interest at heart, at the forefront of our mind and the forefront of our decision making. And that's all. That's not just going to be like, here's a plan, follow it, and if you don't follow it, get the fuck off. It's like, right, here's a plan, here's what should work, and then any obstacles that come in along the way, a coach should work through them with you. And that's the same to, like, from like a guy who's not wanting to admit that his strength's stalling, to the female that's struggling with disordered eating, to a secret eater, to whatever it is that you're experiencing going through, just know that you're not alone, and that you have the help there from your coach, but then there also might be a community around that coach of people that have been through the same. And I relate this to our community of females that we have, and guys, got like a male chat and a female chat, who openly share problems, obstacles, learn from experiences of others. Of course, they spoke to me, myself, Ali or Clara first as well. But then often, like, just getting like another voice of, hey, yeah, I've been through that and this is what I've done. And it can really help. And a classic example of that, and I know that she won't mind me saying, you know, Clara has done podcasts before on disordered eating and her previous experiences with it. We have some female clients on board, and obviously confidentiality reasons, I will not name who they are, that have struggled with disordered eating, that have struggled with body image, and they'll often put a wee sort of thing up in the group, and Clara responds straight away with, hey, this is what I've done, I can relate to you, this is what I used to do, this is how I got over it, this is how I overcame the challenge, drop me a message, drop me a phone call if you need, or we can speak on the phone. And she'll often do that for people that aren't her clients. And that's the benefit of having a team of coaches. And I get sometimes, like, at times as a female, right, you want to have another female's opinion. There's only so much us guys can relate to and whatnot. And although the decision and the advice I give will be logical and this, that, and the next thing, at times you just want to hear another woman's voice. And I totally get that. And that's the benefit of, if you're struggling with something like that, that's just one example of what our team can do for you and how we could be there and go really above and beyond what you think coaching is and show you what exactly it should be. So I've rambled on here for long enough about why you should need a coach, why you need to hire one, why you need to reach out. If you still think that you don't need one, please DM me and tell me why. And if it's a case of just that you're knowledgeable enough to do it on your own and you're quite a high level coach yourself, fair play, right? But if you're not, please tell me why you don't need one or why you don't think that having one would be a benefit. But all in all, guys, if you found this episode or any of the 40 episodes that I've done up to date useful, please share your most favourite one on your story. Tag me in it. Little plug about, you know, what you thought of it, how you enjoy the podcast, what it's done for you. Because I just want to try and reach and help as many people in the industry as I can, especially in this time frame. You know, we are all going through this lockdown. It's a bit uncertain at times, and we should all be trying to get through it together. And I hope that the bodybuilding community does come together and get closer through this and it eradicates any sort of backstabbing, you know, bitching and all that. I just want people to come together during this time period, and I hope that these podcasts really help with that. And I would like to obviously reach a bit more. So if you could share that in your story, that'd be class. But whatever you do today, if you're watching this on YouTube, again, sorry about the hair and how scruffy I look. But as always, guys, wherever you are, whatever you do, give it the beans.